You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAFGiving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hello, yeah. Welcome back.
Episode 36.
Man, we're getting old. I like it.
It's true, man. We've been doing this for less than a year, and we're already up to episode 36, so pretty good times, man.
2014 kind of is the year of the podcast.
It's true.
At least for me, because, I mean, podcasts have been around for a while, you know? It's not a new thing, but I feel like kind of everyone and their f***ing mom's got a podcast now, and I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, this year is when I got a job in the mailroom of my workplace, so I just been listening to podcasts. I kind of got taken over by podcasts. Listen to music, obviously, still, but most of my work day is like just a revolving schedule of podcasts that I listen to.
All right, before we dive down the rabbit hole, my name's Ian, that's Kevin.
What's up?
Ryan the Beard just got back from the airplane.
Yo.
From Louisiana, he's been up for like 50,000 f***ing hours in a row.
Yep. New Orleans.
Tired.
And Max Long's here too.
What's going on?
Yo. All right, so yeah, man, podcasts. I actually just for the last few days, I've been trimming a lot of weed. So that's what I've been doing, is listening to podcasts. I kind of took a page out of your book.
Which podcast you been checking out?
The first one I got into was the Jamie Josta podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I listened to a bunch of those. I started with the Mick Foley one, listened to the Rob Halford one today.
Sweet.
I don't know. The Ice-T one was pretty good.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of them on there, and he hasn't been doing it that much longer than we have, really.
No, he hasn't. He's great, though, because it's like a conversation.
Yeah, it's totally, down to earth. It's very natural.
It's awesome. I think my favorite from the past year is totally not metal, but it's one called Serial, and it's probably the most famous podcast. But it was number one for as long as it was going. It was an NPR podcast, and it was just one story over 12 weeks. It was this lady talking about a missing person trial and a murder trial, and it was really interesting. So check it out if you're into the CSI kind of stuff. But it's real life, and at the end, it's kind of a bummer. So.
It's real.
It's true, but it's fucking awesome. And I binged, you know, you binge watch shows on Netflix and stuff. I totally binge listened. I just listened straight through. Couldn't get enough of it. And the guy I ride to work with was like, what the fuck, bro? Because he would catch like random episodes. He wouldn't listen to it in sequence. He was just, he was like, God damn it.
Episode number four.
Exactly. So
that's cool. I'll have to check that one out.
Totally. Hey, Max, what podcast you listen to, man?
Serial.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to like it at all. It was a real fucking bummer at first.
Yeah.
But then after the first episode, you're like, I give it another chance, and you get sucked in. And they're short, too. They're like within an hour.
Yeah, how long are they?
Maybe like 30, 45 minutes?
Yeah, it varies, 30 to 32 an hour.
Yeah.
So have you been doing, you're still doing the Pants Party podcast? No? You said F no to that one?
No, once everyone shattered the image for me, they're like, dude, it's really fucking corny. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Who called it corny?
Everyone.
Everyone that wasn't on it?
Yeah. Well.
That's awesome.
And I thank them.
Now you got to do something else, man.
Dude, we're going to start something up.
That's cool. That's what...
Time to get weird with Max and the Beard.
Honestly, this is a weird idea, but I don't know if Ian, I don't know if you have enough time. I think that you and Tim should do a weed podcast.
I would be totally down.
The Weed Cast!
We could get serious.
Green Cast!
I think there needs to be a series of like offshoot podcasts that Ian needs to do the Weed Cast. Me and Cody from 107.7 The End, we're going to do a wrestling podcast.
There you go.
And you guys could do a...
You get Steve the producer.
We're just going to get weird.
A weirdo podcast.
A weird podcast.
You already have a name for it, man.
Yeah, dude.
Do you know how many fucking sponsors you could get if you had a weed cast?
Dude, that's like, the thing. Between Tim and I, we could get actually some pretty big name, you know, players
in the weed game
thing, you know.
But you guys are big players in the weed game. Don't fool yourself.
Well, that's what I mean. We could get actually interesting people in here, not just like fucking Joe Juggalo who's selling dime sacks down in Auburn. You know what I mean?
But should
that's
get
who
Joe
I do
want
to listen to.
That's what I want to hear.
God damn it! No,
you know, weed game's hard, son.
You know what? And I'm gonna bring this up just because he is a Juggalo.
Oh,
but one
God.
Of my favorite podcasts, to be
He's
honest,
real?
Is a guy named Kevin Gill. He does a fucking awesome podcast. Now this guy started a record label in 1995 called Dignified Bastard, and he put out the first Vision of Disorder EP.
Okay.
And he was super into, he was actually in the first New York hardcore documentary, and I remember watching it and seeing him, and over the years he got really into Insane Clown Posse through the video game Backyard Wrestling.
Wow.
Because he worked for Rockstar Games, and so he got them in there. He's like a hardcore dude, he's super into pro wrestling, and he's a juggalo. So CM Punk actually was quoted as saying he is the definition of unity. He is so weird. He's super. He has episodes with Violent J, Mick Foley, X-Pac, Freddie Madball, Vision of Disorder, dude from H2O. Like it's really fucking crazy. But
weird.
I love it. And you know, as much as weird as they are, the guys from Insane Clown Posse are really funny to listen to when they're interviewed.
Oh yeah, totally. See, this is where I'm the odd man out, because the only podcasts that I really listen to are Kevin Smith's Smodcast.
Oh, that's a great one,
which
too.
Which I love. He's always hysterical, and he's usually pretty spot on. And I'm a big Kevin Smith fan. I'm a big movie buff, so that kind of works for me. And I listen to that and the weekly Above and Beyond podcast.
My thing
podcast,
is, like,
so I get my EDM on while I'm restreaming my guitars and cleaning my house, and that's all
See,
I do.
See, I just... I can't use iTunes, man. It just, like, it's against my ethos as, like, a technological creation.
You use Stitcher?
That's the thing I'm going to have to find now that I'm kind of getting sucked into it. That puts them all together for me.
I'm an Android guy, so I use this thing called Podcast Addict, and that's just a regular podcast catcher or whatever. Stitcher kind of sucked, to be honest. It wouldn't update fast enough for me. I don't know. This is kind of nerd talk, but yeah. Good times, man.
Whatever,
I mean,
dude.
We're on a podcast. This is kind of meta right now. On a podcast talking about podcasts that we listen to.
That's cool, man. We're just giving some respect where respect is due.
Nothing wrong with a little Mark Maron, though, too, in your life. He's very self-deprecating and funny. So.
Oh, the Ice Tea podcast is hilarious.
The Next Level or something like that?
Final Level. Yeah. I just listened to the one with Cool Keith. Oh, man, it's awesome.
And then another one I listened to is called Juan Epstein, and it's from these two dudes on Hot 97 in New York, and it's a hip-hop, underground hip-hop one, but they are fucking hilarious. His name's Cypha Sounds, and Pete Rosenberg. So shout outs to Pete Rosenberg.
Have you ever heard of Brilliant Idiots
Jewish
with
guy.
Charlamagne the God and that other guy?
No.
Dude, Brilliant Idiots. That's
Brilliant Idiots?
Yeah, that's actually a really good one.
I feel like I want to find somebody who's got like a really raunchy ass like sports podcast where they say fucked up shit. that you can't say.
What's it called?
There's got to be something.
Sklar Brothers do a good one.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a really good one. And then Chael Sonnen has one called Thank You or You'll Thank Me Later, I think. Okay. He was the former UFC guy.
Oh, that's okay. There you
and
go.
He just talks so much. He got busted for performance enhancing drugs, so he can't be doing UFC for
so
a while.
So, you know, he's got a little dirt on his collar.
And then, that's cool. Then I could go off and for an hour about pro wrestling podcasts, but no one wants to hear that. So,
all right, well, what we should do, I think, right now is get into some of the news from the week.
Yay!
Hooray! And then we'll kind of recap 2014. It's been an awesome year of metal and existence on planet Earth once again. So, gentlemen, what should we start off the news with this week, the final week of 2014?
Well, the band Ghost from Sweden is going to be working on a new album. They have a new album due out in 2015. No real details other than it's just the Nameless Ghouls are added again. They said that we would just like to tell you we're all currently crafting a new album to be released next year, and we can't wait to shed some light on the details about it. So,
have we ever found out? Has there ever been a legit leak on who any of those guys actually are?
There's rumors as to who they are, but nothing concrete like the Slipknot Unmasked news.
Right, where the guy just posted the fucking name of everyone in the band on Instagram.
He got fired, probably.
Yeah, probably dragged out back, too. You never know. So Ghost is working on some new things. Rings of Saturn announced that they have a new guitarist. We've been talking for the last couple weeks about the back and forth between those two guys on the internet, as it is 2014 and all. But they have Joel Amons left the band, and they have a replacement, a guy named Miles Baker, and he played in a band called Interloper. I don't know anything about this guy, but and they say that he's a pretty ripping guitar player. So if you're going to be in Rings of Saturn, you at least have to know how to play some fucking guitar.
But the thing is wasn't that guy saying that the main guy doesn't know how to play him? Like he writes him and then makes other people play him and doesn't even learn?
Well, what they were claiming is that he's like a studio guy. So he would write each song riff by riff.
He's a studio gangster like Dr. Dre.
Record it piece by piece and then couldn't actually replicate it in reality, you know?
Ryan ruined it for me. I was so stoked about it. He was like, yeah, they don't even do it. They can't even do it live, man. They suck.
Yeah. Ryan, like, I don't like that band,
like,
man.
The moment you brought this up, it made me really like, thanks, well, Ryan.
Why not?
What they do is they
Pro
use
Tools,
the,
baby.
They use this method of recording, and they basically what happens is everything you play into Pro Tools, you record at halftime. It's sped up. Pro Tools has a function that allows you to record at halftime,
right?
And so when you go into full, when you hit it to record in full time, or when you speed it back up, it sounds normal. And that's actually a thing that Dragon Force was doing for a really long period of time. And Rings of Saturn was like, oh, this is a thing that we can do for stuff and things. And now I'm not saying that those dudes can't play their instruments. I mean, obviously they're very proficient at their instruments.
Well, they're good songwriters at least.
Yeah, and they're great songwriters. And, you know, I'm not trying to take that away from in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, I just think, you know.
It's like watching Guitar Hero Live.
If you can really do it, record it that way, you know? I mean,
fuck it.
Put up or shut up. And, you know, I've seen that band live quite a few times, and I have yet to see them really actually pull it off. So,
fair enough.
Start putting dollar bills in their G-strings, and maybe they'll start giving a shit.
Holler.
Ooh.
So, a band that is a lot less technical, but I'd say I like them a lot more, is a band called Harm's Way from Chicago. These dudes are going to be coming out with a new record on March 10th. It's called Rust. And it's pretty basic artwork. It's just a white cover with says Rust in huge orange rusty letters. And it was actually recorded at Bricktop Recordings by the dude who did Dead in the Dirt and Weekend Nachos. It was mixed at God City by Kurt Ballou. And it was mastered by Brad at Audio Siege, who did Obituary and Nails. And it's apparently going to combine some industrial stuff.
Really?
Metal and hardcore.
Are they going to pull in Flames?
I like Harm's Way. I have high hopes for this. I hope it's good, man.
And lots of deadlifts.
He sounds like he's shitting and, yeah, lifting like a 500-pound barrel over his head at the same time.
Quit doing crunches on the squat rack, motherfucker. Like his anus just prolapsed. That's kind of just what it reminds me.
Anal prolapse. That's a good grindcore band.
I want to hear a band called Prolapse. That's a great band.
Start one.
Name.
We could, that's what we could call a metal shop band.
There you go, Prolapse.
If you're a fan of hardcore, then you would know of
me.
Band
me
called No Warning from Canada, from Toronto. They haven't been around for quite some time. They're going to be playing their first North American show in almost 10 years. Their last show was in Quebec City in 2005. It's going to be April 10th at the Game Changer World in New Jersey.
Is it like a game? Is that like an arcade place?
I hope so, dude. That would be awesome.
I hope they play Suffer Survive all the way through.
Yeah. I'd be cool with that.
Are they going to go back to their like Ill Blood sound, or are they going to kind of mix it up and do some Suffer Survive?
Here's what they have to say. On April 10th, No Warning, we'll play our first North American show in 10 years. The state of the world and our system of life is as ugly as ever, and it's time to express our disgust in the one way we know how. It's been a strange journey for our band, but we feel very blessed that people still get down with our music. Come April 2015 on the Jersey Shore, we will share that appreciation. The full lineup with some new and old friends will be announced a little later. It will not disappoint. Still ill. So, No Warning, coming back. Going to get your wig split in the pit, bitch.
Righteous. Well, Shadows Fall is not really that busy. They put out a record every 3 years or so.
That would be one that's on the borderline of bands that kind of called it quits this year, actually.
Yeah. Well, the drummer Jason Bittner has joined an old school band by the name of Flotsam and Jetsam. And he's replacing a dude named Kelly Smith, who's departed Flotsam and Jetsam. And he said that he's been a Flotsam and Jetsam fan for decades. Are you all right, dude?
Sorry, dude.
All right, Max is just like
Max
over there.
Max is choking over here.
Choking on that hit. he's been a fan of Flotsam and Jetsam for decades. He's been following the band around the East Coast in the 80s and 90s. So apparently he was such a diehard that he followed them around. And now it's pretty sweet that he gets to join the band. It's like Rockstar, except on a much lower level.
Yeah. there's one band called Attila. I'm not really up on them. Didn't the fucking guy from Attila win that MTV Make Me and Made?
Yeah, it was like the show? He wanted Made? To be the singer of a band. And didn't your band open for Attila? Or was it Chelsea Grin?
Both.
It was both?
Oh, God.
Both. In Detroit, Michigan.
Jesus.
I could go on. That's a long story. Right?
Tell us.
Well,
the captive audience.
I'll make a long story short. Basically, we were in Detroit. We didn't have a show that day. So Harrison, in all of his smooth-talking, sly, f***ing weaselness, we just walked up to the show at like 3 or 4 p.m., you know, before anybody had gotten there. It was just like the bands and the venue had just opened. And he walked in and he's like, hey, we're on tour from Seattle. You know, we don't have a show today. Can we get on this bill? And it was American Me, Attila, f***ing Chelsea Grin, And Hell Came After, or something like that, was the name of the band. And Hell Followed With, I think is what it was. It was really bad, dude. But we didn't have a show to play, and it kind of made sense, because, you know, kids, they're like, oh, I'm gonna mosh, I'm fucking hanging out at the mall all day, and gonna go see American Me after that. But we were there, and it was so fucking weird, because there was, like, 14-year-old girls walking around with, like, 40 ounces.
What?
Just in the venue. And we were like, dude... If you haven't been to, and that was Detroit in like 2007, and literally the venue was the only thing in the area. There was a construction up and down the street, and the rest was just boarded up buildings and shitty like dollar stores and thrift stores. It was fucking sketchy, dude. I just hung out by like a drain culvert and just smoked weed and played Game Boy. It was fucking tight.
Wow.
Anyway, the show was weird, and all of those bands were garbage. We didn't get paid anything, and I stole a bunch of gear from Attila. So
good.
Yeah. I still have some of their chords and some of it.
Well, before we get into this news story, let's just say that this band is super ignorant, and they are like one of...
That's why I don't feel bad about it.
The four front runners of like straight up... I mean, if you thought Emir was ignorant, these guys are just... bring it to a whole nother level.
Thanks, MTV Made.
The singer Lordzilla the First, as he's known on Twitter.
Good God.
He started a company that is called Stay Sick and its clothing line, and he makes these women's hoodies that say, don't be a fucking bitch, in humongous letters. And it's a bunch of little girls, like, wearing it on his Twitter that he's retweeting. There's this girl that said, on Christmas, she said, about to buy some Stay Sick shit now that I have some money. She has $300 in her hand. His shirts all say, don't give a fuck, no care, suck my fuck. Yeah, there's literally an iPod case that says, suck my fuck.
16-year-old me loves that shit.
What are you kidding?
Shut
I know. 22-year-old
you
loves this shit.
All right, yeah, he's 23,
sorry.
So, yeah, and then they were bouncing, like, as if anybody fucking really gives a shit about either one of these bands, but Senses Fail and Attila were firing back and forth on Twitter. But, yeah, they use the word fuck all the time. I mean, like, okay, I was just talking to Benny from El Corazon about this today, and he was talking about there was another band that he just saw at El Corazon because he sees a lot of bands there because he bartends, mm-hmm. and he was like, hey, man, you can't just drop a fucking F-bomb.
The F-bomb.
Yeah. On stage anymore. In fact, you can't even say that at all. In fact, I'm going to bleep it out later on, you know? You can't say f**k. You just can't. It's like saying
Are you Sebastian N-word. Bach?
Right.
Like, what the f**k? Are you Sebastian Bach from the 80s?
Yeah. It's, come on,
dude. Axl Rose?
Yeah. You can't use it in a record that comes out in 24, especially in a place like
Seattle.
Right. Or anywhere on the West Coast, or anywhere with anybody who's got a f***ing half a brain in their f***ing head.
Just don't be an asshole.
So pretty much anywhere but Alabama.
Anyway, we're basically just calling them out because there has been a legitimate change.org petition to prevent Attila from performing at the newly announced 2015 Skate and Surf Festival going on in
Good.
New Jersey, which is going to be a cool festival. But you know it's bad when you have to and there's a f***ing petition launched against you because you suck. Stop being a fucking band. Can we just
please
just stop? Fuck you. Anyway,
eat a dick. Wait, that's kind of homophobic,
isn't it?
No, it's cannibalistic.
Well, eat a book.
It's cannibalistic,
like,
not
chew
homophobic.
On it and swallow it too.
Suck a clit.
Yeah.
Okay. Either way, fuck you, Attila. We hope you get banned, but you won't, and you'll continue to make. Music and sell your fucking stupid ass t-shirts to 16-year-old girls you get in trouble for molesting children.
Maybe they just go missing.
It's only time, man.
You know?
It's only time.
Dude, I'm calling it. Sometime within the next 5 years, one of those dudes is going to get a massive lawsuit for screwing around with an underage chick.
Right? I mean,
the unfunny truth of that, it probably is that, like, at that point, it will have happened for so long that it's already too late.
They'll get an old life ruiner.
Seriously, though, like, fuck that band. I don't know how else to say it. If you're a fan of that band, A, you know, we're not trying to insult you or your musical taste or whatever. B, think a little harder about the shit that you're, you know, consuming. You know? That's all. That's all.
Just and be conscious.
Listen to Metal Shop.
Yeah. Just stop.
We'll give you some alternatives.
There you go.
And here's one of them. A band called Obscura. Really sick. They actually just commenced pre-production for their next album, and it's a follow-up to 2011's Omnivium, so it's been a while. Yeah.
Aren't those the one or two of the guys from Necrophagist?
Yeah, and
in the meantime, while we're waiting for that record...
Yeah, they've decided... Well, it's old members of Necrophagist that probably got tired of waiting around.
Yeah, I think that's... Isn't that why they started that band?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good!
Sweet.
I'm glad to hear from it. Something new from them.
Obscura.
All right, so last year, was it 2013 or was it late 2012 when we had Mark Eglinton on the show?
I think it was 2012.
2012, and he was the one who wrote Rex Brown's autobiography from
Pantera. Oh,
yeah.
He has some interesting backstage stories about that one.
I've been talking to Mark for the last few weeks, just kind of off and on, just saying hi, just maintaining a relationship, and the guy is really, really awesome. And I am incredibly... I'm really, really looking forward to being able to talk to him on the phone or getting him in the studio to talk about his newest project, which is titled Confessions of a Heretic, The Sacred and the Profane, Behemoth and Beyond, the new autobiography from Behemoth's frontman, Nergal. It's going to be awesome, and it's coming out March 19th, so you all know what to get me for my birthday.
I think Mark can hook that up.
I hope so.
Mark, where you at?
Where you at?
But we gotta have him up in the studio.
We gotta get him in here. But the Official Truth 101 Proof with the Inside Story of Pantera with Rex Brown was his last book. It was awesome. I sat down and read it. I read a book.
Holy
I know.
It had to be about metal, though.
Right? But yeah, Adam Nergaldarski, man, and he said he wasn't really like giving. I was trying to like get him to give me some of the inside info, but he was just saying that he is one of the like most well-spoken guys that he's ever talked to. So I really look forward to seeing what kind of insight he's got.
Nice.
He's been through a lot of shit, man. Nergal's been through some real shit.
Well, he did have cancer, but he got through it.
Yeah, I mean,
with the help of Satan.
That and being afraid of like going to jail for the rest of your life because your actual government says that you can't rip up a Bible on
you can't
stage.
Be a heretic.
Yeah, it's you know, it's like us playing deicide and then Washington State sheriffs coming and going, "All right, guys, you're going to jail."
Fuck. What?
Like, what? Really?
I mean, not only do we play like deicide, but we also say some pretty, you know, pretty intense things like Christian crushers and whatnot.
Right.
So,
speaking of which, deicide actually just announced this week that they already have a couple of songs lined up, framed out for a new record.
Nice.
Remember that time we took bong rips with Steve Ashim in our living room?
It was good times.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Steve, their drummer, announced that they got picked up for another record, so they're going to start working on some new stuff. Already got a couple of songs framed out. They're going to be busy all through next year for the next couple of years, it looks like. They're going to have a record and some more shows. So Deicide's carrying on the anti-sermon for the next few years.
The anti-sermon, I like that. So Bloodbath is right now, if you want to check out something interesting from their, it's not their newest record, but it's an alternate mix of a song from their new record called Beyond Cremation. You can head over to Decibel Magazine's website, and they're streaming it, and if you are a subscriber, you'll get the actual flexi vinyl.
What's Beyond Cremation? Is that like smoking someone's ashes?
Yeah.
You're gonna smoke your ashes.
Yeah, dude.
That needs to be a Cannabis Corpse song. I don't know. Anyway.
I think Max is interested now.
He's like, what?
Perked up a little bit.
Can I snort? Yeah, can I, that's Beyond Cremation. Gonna snort my dust?
Yeah.
Snort it. It'll fuck you up.
That's fucked up, bro.
You know, another band that looks like it's kind of having some troubles here towards the end of the year. Broken Hope announced this week that they're parting ways with their bass player, Sean Glass, and guitar player, Chuck Webfer.
Bummer.
Just a couple of years after they kind of got things back together and set up a reunion run and a couple of new records. So they're not a part of Broken Hope anymore, but it says that they do already have two new members, Matt Aslatka from Chimera, who was getting ready to be drafted by somebody, because Chimera is obviously not doing anything, and Diego Soria from a band called Disgorge.
Yeah.
So Broken Hope's carrying on, man.
That's awesome.
Just changing things up a little bit.
So why don't we go over some of the biggest news stories and coolest stuff from 2014?
Let's do it. Let's talk about some of the things that that happened this year and kind of work our way down from the beginning. Just some of the events from January. In January 6th, Benighted announced they were going to lose their bass player Eric Lombard, and Alexis Liu was his replacement. So there's some Benighted stuff. And they put out a great record this year, too.
On January 6th, the same day, Yossi Sassi released an official statement.
Yossi Sassi!
In which he announced he would part ways with Orphanland. Orphanland, an incredible band, but he said he wanted to, quote-unquote, focus on new dreams.
One band that broke up this year, Brutal Truth, came to an end because in January, their bass player Dan Lilker, who also was in Nuclear Assault and Anthrax at one point, announced that he was going to be retiring from music full-time on his 50th birthday, which was in October. So that was the last Brutal Truth show also. So instead of replacing Dan, Brutal Truth, kind of in an act of solidarity, which is, you know, in my opinion, garners a huge amount of respect, they hung it up. And after a long time, Brutal Truth called it quits.
Brutal breakup.
Yep. The right way.
On January 26th, Black Sabbath's God is Dead won this year's Grammy Award for Best Metal Performance. It was their first Grammy Award in 14 years since their live version of Iron Man won the same category.
God is Dead.
Yeah, so.
Oh, did you? Yeah, the one of my favorite compilation records that came out this year was the This Is Your Life, the tribute to Dio. With, you know, obviously Metallica got in on it, Halford, Corey Taylor, Rainbow in the Dark, obviously that Killswitch Engage cover, that was in February. If you don't have it yet, go get it.
On March 17th, it was announced that Angela Gossow had left Arch Enemy, would remain as the band's manager, which is an interesting move. So she'll probably still be making that money. She is replaced by Alyssa White Glues, former vocalist of The Agonist. And on the same day, The Agonist announced they parted ways with Alyssa and that Vicky Pasarkis had taken over their new vocalist. It's like they have this training camp.
Everybody just got bumped
female
up.
Metal vocalist. And then, also, not on the same time frame, but then Jeff Loomis later on joined Arch Enemy. So,
yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Big moves. In June, Exodus announced that they were getting rid of Rob Dukes, and they were rejoining with Steve Souza, who was their original Exodus, and a singer of a bunch of other bands, but now he's back. So, we got Steve back in Exodus.
In August, mid-August, Phil Anselmo announced that Superjoint Ritual would reunite for Housecore Horror Film Festival under the name Superjoint. No Ritual.
Superjoint. I could go for a Superjoint. Let's see. Just a couple weeks ago, late November, Sean Drover and Chris Broderick both left Megadeth, citing musical differences and desires to pursue their own interests. And they actually just this week announced that they're going to be starting a new band.
Yeah.
Together.
It's going to be like Megadeth without Dave.
Basically, they straight up said, they were like, hey, we have a bunch of songs that we had written for the new Megadeth record. Dave apparently didn't like it or wherever it was going, and they were like, well, fuck it. We'll just write a record anyway.
Damn.
Let's see who does it better, Dave.
And
get another guy named Dave.
Motley Crue announced they will embark on a farewell tour, and they did. And apparently it was awesome. But they, according to singer Vince Neil, are continuing on. They won't split up. Dude, let it go. Everyone else wants to.
Let it go, bro. Let it go. Let's talk about some of our favorite shows that went down this year, man. There's so many that I guarantee you I've had an awesome time at, but just f***ing spacing on because there were so many of them.
It's kind of a blur of... It's kind of a hazy blur of Studio 7 and Elko.
And Highline, yeah.
A little peppering of Showbox in there, too.
Yeah.
Ryan, you probably have gone to the most amount of shows
shows. Damn.
Yeah, I don't remember any of them. I've got the memory of a goldfish.
Well, that's why we wrote some down here.
Yeah, we got a few. Let's go backwards in time, starting with that pre-show, man, into Tacoma Dome. Kevin kind of gave up his tickets to us so we could go down there and he could hold down Metal Shop.
Thanks, dude. That rule.
Yeah, it was
you're
awesome.
Welcome.
Yeah, Kevin. I never
he was
got
like,
to
fine.
Properly...
You guys need to get the fuck out of here anyway.
I never got to properly thank you for that, man. Much appreciated.
It was a great show, man. That was one of those ones where
it was awesome.
Hey, at least you got to do Metal Shop and play metal on the radio for a bunch
it was
of cool
fun.
People.
I had a good time,
but they definitely set the bar, dude. Priest kind of just was like, yeah. This is how you fucking play a metal show. No over-the-top stupid frills. The basic cool shit. They rode their fucking 1989 Harley Davidson out on stage. Hellbent for Leather, you know, all the classics. And, Helford's definitely still got it, to say the least.
My favorite show of the year was last March with Carcass and Gore Guts and Noisem at the Showbox Market for the Decibel Tour of the Year.
that
was fucking incredible.
Rule.
Dude, Gore Guts kind of stole the show for me on that one.
That band rules. Band is so good.
Yeah, it's just kind of a band that I really hadn't given the time of day to before that. And after seeing that, I was just, wow. Blown the fuck away, man.
Yeah. Did you guys hear their guitarist Luke ended up getting in touch with Dusty Peterson?
Really?
Yeah, after that conversation in the car talking about the
talking about the artwork, yeah.
Yeah, the Bloodbath album cover. Yeah, that's...
That's
did
awesome.
Anything end up? Do you know if anything ended up?
I don't know if anything came of it. We'll have to ask him. But man, that's, I'm glad that actually ended up panning out.
Amon Amarth, headlining at El Corazon.
That was tight. That was really, really uncomfortable show.
Yes, dude, literally, that was tight.
Nut to butt, front of stage,
nut
the
to
merch
butt.
Booth,
nice.
Man.
But that's one of those things where thankfully we've known everybody that works at El Corazon, and they know we're cool enough that we can kind of just sneak around the side. And
really? I'm just joking.
Oh, yeah. He's like, what? I've been missing out on this.
I'm just joking.
What else? Mayhem Fest, Cannibal Corpse, Body Count set.
Oh, yeah.
That was insane. Listening to that Ice-T podcast today made me... Yeah, it was great. And he was talking about, he's like, hey, man, I kind of follow the climate of music. And he's like, I'm not really feeling hip-hop and R&B right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's trying to move on with Body Count. You know, he's going to be doing some more Body Count stuff. So we'll see.
It fits him, though. It's like, we saw him live this summer.
Oh, he killed it.
The dude is... That dude's scary. Like,
yeah, oh, yeah.
I see him on TV, I'm like, no.
He looks like he'll fuck you up.
He will, like...
He's like, he is Ice-T. He is the OG.
He's like a bro from
he
the yard.
He coined the term OG.
Yo, Max, do you think you could take Ice-T?
No. Not right now, no.
What would happen if you tried to take on Ice-T?
I'd die. I would just get murdered.
Well, first of all, you talk a little shit. Then you'd get a little shot.
I would get a lot shot.
You max get out.
I would get
shot.
A lot shot.
What about the
He'd
riff?
Break both your shoulders.
Just by looking at you. What about the riff master? The riff lord. Sorry.
Oh, that oh, crowbar yeah. show.
Crowbar at Elko.
That was badass.
Who else was on that? Show. Was that was just
It was like
them?
Fit for an Autopsy.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
A
right.
bunch of bands, actually. But Crowbar was so sick. It was on a weekday for me, so I had to get up like really early the next day, but
dude,
it was totally worth it.
Friggin' Nails at Elko.
Ooh.
That was good, too,
I don't think
man.
I saw that one, man.
That was a fun
I must
one.
Have missed that one.
Did you go to I Hate God and Power Trip?
Yeah,
at Elko
that was really fun,
nice.
Too, man.
Oh, man, I got fucked. I was fucking wasted by the time I Hate God came
nice.
On.
Nice.
I kind of felt it was appropriate, you know?
How much feedback did they have?
Oh, it was just... Every other woof was... Meh, boom, boom,
meh, meh, boom, I bet.
Yeah, it was fine. Whatever.
It's the I Hate God sound.
This one wasn't necessarily as packed out, but for me personally, it was one of my top shows of the year. Getting to open for Ulcerate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Man, I have loved that band for such a long time, and even just getting to see them would be such a great thing, but getting to open for them was really, really rad. That
Everybody
was
I talked
great
to
freaking
yeah,
time.
Said that show ruled. A band that we didn't expect to see this year again for the second time in a row under strange and really kind of tragic circumstances, Gwar at the Showbox.
I know.
So dope.
I shed a tear at that show, flat out. I held it together and then until they hit Immortal Corruptor and I kind of lost it a little bit.
Man,
I was pretty bummed out.
I think that they did a very tasteful job of keeping things a little bit more low-key, you know.
Totally.
In terms
I loved
of,
it. It was awesome.
Yeah, like not going over the top with the stage stuff, but still at the same time, like, still doing it, you know?
Yeah, right.
Totally.
Like, they brought out the cuttlefish, like the severed cuttlefish, to spray people down.
He ripped off his dick!
And then, you know, they paid tribute to Dave and Odorous, and it's good to see Gwar coming back, and as we were talking about last week, I think, or the week before that, they just completed their first U.S. tour without Dave. And things went successfully, so hopefully we'll be seeing them. And
man, the world needs Gwar.
Yeah.
Really does. You know, my favorite quote that came out of that whole thing was from Randy Blythe. Dave Brocky is the only motherfucker to ever exist that you gotta put in the ground twice.
Yeah, exactly. Well, rest in peace, Dave. Let's see what else. I don't know. Down. I get that would be the last one I would say. Down at the Showbox.
That was awesome, too. That was recent, like last weekend.
Yeah.
Or... What, like 2 weeks
before
ago?
Before last,
something
yeah.
like that? I don't know. It was awesome.
I got really high and went to Woven Hand with Ryan. That was cool.
Dude, that was a fun show, man.
That was actually really
good. That was
good.
Great. Max was landed at that show.
Shocking.
That dude was up on the moon for that whole set. I looked over at one point and Max just kind of had his eyes half open, kind of nodding his head, shit-eating grin, just kind of... I turned to him just like, Max, are you all
you
right?
You need to get out of here,
yeah.
dude.
Yeah.
Let's see. Before we carry on with like some of the other stuff from 2014, I would like to say to anybody... who works in the music industry, people that we've been working with, whether it's like tour managers, mostly directed towards people who work at the venues we interact with, namely, you know, Studio 7, El Corazon, the Showbox, the Highline, Crocodile. All of those guys are super cool.
Yeah, Chop Suey too.
Chop Suey, most definitely. They, you know, it's thankfully, and I'm not trying to like say that, you know, we are the guys from Metal Shop, but it's the kind of thing where they don't give us any f***ing hassles. They make everything super easy for
yep.
us regarding stage announcements and interviews and
yep.
and everything like that and being super professional all the time and just being funny and good-natured and good f***ing people. So thank you to everybody in the Seattle area and wherever else that's helped us out this year.
Yeah, and unfortunately we have some more news that is a bummer to kind of talk about, but we got to do it. And there were a few deaths of some incredible musicians this year, and we want to pay homage to those artists. Yep. Yeah. So first off was a couple months back, the vocalist of Static X, Wayne Static.
Yeah, and you know, Wayne Static is as soon as we announced that on Metal Shop, I think, yeah, like maybe a couple hours after it happened, and to have received such a huge outpouring of people that were like influenced by Static X, even though, you know, they hadn't been as influential as a band in the last few years as they were. They were a multi-platinum selling band.
They definitely got big around the like uprising of rock, new metal, like the Korn, Limp Bizkit, Papa Roach era, and it was at that time that they kind of got huge. So when people actually bought CDs is when they got big. So they blew up, and I remember they toured with Pantera, Slayer, and Morbid Angel for the Extreme Steel Tour.
Wow.
And that would have been a badass show to see, but
I'd go see Static X.
Yeah, man.
But obviously that's not going to be happening anymore.
I did see Static X one time, and unfortunately it was with a band called The Browning. But Static X was really good, so that's all I got to say about that. Rest in peace, Wayne Static.
Somehow we made it almost halfway through the year. We made it, well, 3 or 4 months in, about 4 months into the year before we lost a significant member of the metal community, and that would have been on March 23rd. As we mentioned, when we did lose Dave Brocky, Odorous Orungus from Gwar, of an accidental opioid overdose. And I remember when we first announced that, Brian and I were both just like, there's no way this could be a drug overdose because this guy's got so much shit going on. He's like the most functional, influential guy in metal.
Yeah.
He's like in charge of so much shit. We're like, how could this guy function if he had a terrible drug addiction to the point where he's going to die from it?
Mm.
It's just so strange to see. And I don't really obviously know him. I don't think any of us do, but it's one of those things where I wonder if he just had an accident, straight up.
Yeah.
Like, he just didn't know what he was doing, or maybe it was something recent, or something that he just didn't, you know, people didn't know about, and just straight up had an accident, and we lost him at the age of 50 years old, man.
Rest in peace.
Yep.
And an artist that was not necessarily a metal musician, but he definitely influenced metal all around the world, including Celtic Frost and Triptychon, was a guy by the name of H.R. Giger, very well known for doing the artwork that influenced Alien and Aliens in that whole franchise. And
dude, he did art for so many bands too.
Yeah, he did. So
Korn, Celtic Frost, Dead Kennedys, Danzig.
Damn,
it's a lot of bands, man. Well, he did several of the Danzig records too. So one person that I remember when it came up that Ryan wanted us to mention was Shane Gibson from Korn.
Man, and that...
He was the former guitar player from Korn, died from a blood clotting disorder.
And that was not necessarily because of Korn, but more so because of his other project, Stork. And, you know, Shane Gibson is a really, really, really talented guitar virtuoso, and never really got the credit he really fully deserved. And his project that he did with Stork is really worth listening to. If you're into virtuosos, every single member of that band is absolutely killer on their instrument. It's a project with Thomas Lang, who's quite possibly one of the best drummers in the industry today. So I really highly recommend checking that out.
Shane Gibson, man, rest in peace.
Yep, good stuff.
See, carrying on in June. Or actually July, Dick Wagner, a guitar player for a man named Alice Cooper. One of those guys that you probably wouldn't know perhaps by name. If you do, obviously you're a big Alice Cooper fan. But he died at the age of 71. Alice Cooper, even, you know, as a guy who's getting older, has played with a lot of musicians. So it's the kind of thing where, you know, they're getting into their 60s, 70s, even the f***ing 80s, man. We got old metalheads out there. And that's all. I think that's awesome. So
definitely.
Rest in peace, Dick Wagner from Alice Cooper.
And then late August, Tim Robbiz Williams, former bassist of Suicidal Tendencies, died from currently unknown causes. Suicidal Tendencies is certainly a band where if you play bass for that band, you got to be a real fucking great musician because they got all those slap bass parts and really groovy instrumentals and stuff. So
yeah,
obviously totally. An incredible musician, and he will definitely be missed.
Tim, I know he only played for Suicidal for 4 or 5 years, but he was also... he had gone through like the art institutes and had been a guest musician on so many different things. So, yeah, obviously a big deal, big loss. Jack Bruce from Cream, another legendary bass player, also died at the age of 71 peacefully at his home in late October this year. So rest in peace to Jack Bruce from Cream.
On April 5th, a little bit earlier in the year, Jason McCash from a band called The Gates of Slumber, who Decibel Magazine actually called one of the top 20 doom metal bands of all time. He died from currently unknown causes.
Let's see here. Carrying on, Paulo Schrober from a band called Alma died at the relatively young age of 40 of heart failure. So rest in peace to him, and I think we've got a couple of left here.
Yeah.
People we want to pay tribute to.
On one that kind of hits home with the Metal Shop crew here, Jonathan Athon from Black Tusk, who is a great dude, actually partied with us a couple times. He died in a motorcycle accident.
And, you know, Ryan, I'll let you take care of this last one here if you want to.
Yeah, this one actually really, really hits home. Good friend of mine and of Metal Shops and of the entire Northwest music community, Jorge Menendez from Barefoot Barnacle passed away, another motorcycle accident. And, you know, I can honestly say without him, I would not be the musician that I am today. He's the guy that showed me how to get weird on guitar. And his band is a huge, huge influence on me and so many others. And he will be sorely missed.
Rest in peace to all of those people and to all of the memories of their bands and their art, and especially Jorge, who was on this show.
Yeah, in the studio here.
Hanging out with us. Hilarious dude. Had one of the funniest senses of humor.
He was a comedian. Yeah, he was a stand-up comedian.
It's awesome. So definitely our respect goes out to all of you.
All right, let's talk about some things, some bands, some entities that used to be defunct, dead, quit, whatever, and came back this year. At the top of the list for me, and I think for most of us, was the news late last year that At the Gates was getting back together.
Oh, hell yeah.
And they put out a awesome record. At War with Reality? Is that what it's called?
Yep, At War with Reality,
good.
Man.
That's what just making sure I'm not losing my shit. So At the Gates put out an awesome new record this year, and I think we're all pretty pumped on that.
An album or a band that certainly defines the 90s in more senses than I can really even think of. Cold Chamber has reunited. I don't know if they're going to be doing a new record.
I don't know. Did they say they were?
But they will be doing a full tour with Filter, of all bands. So 90s, 90s, 90s.
And so goes the end of Devil Driver also, but we'll talk about that later on. Floor is getting back together.
Ryan, one of his favorite bands.
Yeah.
See him always wearing his Floor shirt.
Love that band.
Godflesh also played Numos this year.
Yeah, Justin Broderick, man. And they came out with a new record, too, so.
They're back.
F***ing heavy, man.
Bloodbath, Grand Morbid Funeral. Awesome record. They had been without Michael Ackerfeld or a vocalist for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Off the top of my head, I'm being a metal journalist. Can't remember the name of the guy who was replacing him, but the record is f***ing awesome. Super heavy, super riffy, very catchy. If you don't have it yet, don't f*** up. Go get it. It's awesome.
And it was in, it rounded out one of the top 10. It was one of the top 10 of 2014, which we will get into, right?
Yeah, let's get into that here in a few more minutes. Let's talk about let's talk about some of the bands that broke up. So some of the reunions we just read off. Bleeding Through played their last Seattle show at El Corazon.
It was a good show.
Remember seeing those guys many times at the old Graceland.
You can't have from this!
Himsa and the Killswitch Engage and all of those bands.
Metalcore!
So rest in peace, Bleeding Through. We talked about earlier, Brutal Truth called it quits this year after Dan Lilker retired from music at the age of 50.
Damn.
50. Man, I wonder if he's just going to get like 6 months in and go, I need to be in a band.
I don't know what else to do. Yeah. So Chimera is a band that almost broke up so many times, but the singer Mark, he got left. Yep.
He got left. Everyone left him.
He tried to reform and reform and reform and reform, and finally he just got left, and he didn't want to continue going on with a skeleton of a band, so they're done.
We've been talking about how Abath, whatever you'd want to call him, has been battling with members of his fellow members of Immortal over the band title. Immortal, I guess we could officially say
they're pretty much done.
Probably done. So yeah. we'll Time of Death 2014, we'll call that.
Immortal is no longer immortal.
Immortal has reached the end. I don't know. Who fucking knows, man?
Maybe they'll just be called Mortal now.
half the time, most of these bands get back together anyway. We'll see. We'll see.
Wave enough money in front of their faces.
One band I guarantee you won't be getting back together is a band called Noctmystium.
Unless Blake Judd's not in the project.
Blake Judd's antics this year have been
clowning.
Like record level hilarious. Like just epic trolling. And lying and fucking stealing and cheating and just being an all-around bag. Blake Judd, you really outdid yourself this year, man. Good job. Good job.
also, Devil Driver, they've broken up. I'm not sure if it's officially
broken
up. It's
a hiatus, I think.
Okay, so it's a hiatus because Dez is now focusing more on Coal Chamber, which the rest of his band's like, what the fuck, dude?
And they're like, see you later.
We quit our day jobs for this shit. Fuck you.
Ex-Deo, members of Cataclysm, finally realized that Ex-Deo was a bad idea.
That band sucks.
And they should focus on Cataclysm, the good portion of their band.
War metal.
Cataclysm came to Seattle a couple times this year, caught them one of those times. The second time I showed up late and missed it. Actually, no. I showed up late and missed it because they didn't play the show. Because remember their guitar player was having a kid? Like,
yeah.
It had a kid scheduled to be on the way in the middle of their fucking tour, and we were like, why would you just not? Can you book the tour around the kid, please? No. But, hey, man, lesson learned.
I said, hey,
man, he's trying to make some money. He's got a kid on the way.
Massacre broke up this year. Sad to see. Several others, actually.
And Pestilence.
The Faceless.
Yep, Faceless is done.
Pestilence and the Faceless. Well, I guess the Faceless is holding on. They haven't announced it. It's the one guy still in it, I guess.
It'll be my solo basement project.
Yeah, who knows? But that's it for the bands that broke up this year. If there's any others, I don't fucking care.
You weren't important enough for us to talk about on a podcast.
Like, fine, send me a message on Facebook, but I really don't care.
Forgot about your one friend's shitty basement band.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They should have broken up years ago.
Real quick, without spending too much time on these, except for one of them, biggest disappointments of the year. First one off the bat, the new Slayer single, Implode. Remember that?
Yeah. Kind of a turd.
I think we played it like once or twice.
It was all right.
It sounds like they just mailed it in.
Yeah.
Turd-plode.
Like they needed to just have something out in order to remain relevant or to like keep a label happy or
plop.
They didn't. They're like, here's a single, and then silence for the rest of the year. No news of a new record. They did like a 3-week long tour with Suicidal Tendencies and Exodus, and that was it for them. So hopefully we'll hear more from Slayer in the next year.
Dude, that Darkest Hour record.
I haven't really listened to Darkest Hour much lately. Ian's a huge fan of theirs, was.
I'm not a huge fan of theirs. I feel like every other record of theirs is awesome, and for some reason they lived up to it again. The Human Romance is probably...
Yeah, that's the one you always jock.
It's probably my favorite Darkest Hour record. And so I was looking forward to maybe some type of fucking evolution out of it.
All right.
Or something
or devolution
interesting.
Devolution is what happened.
I don't know. But what happened is that they put out a really shitty fucking record.
So bad.
And it was like one of the records I was looking most forward to this year. So.
It sounded like something a Treyu would do back in like late 90s, early 2000s.
I remember we were listening to the songs and then we all just kind of stopped and like looked around at each other like, what the
sucks.
Turn that shit off. Anyway, so that's one of them. In Flames, I think we got the In Flames record. Didn't even open it.
Listened to it online, man.
We listened to one of the songs. We got the CD in the mail, and it's still sitting in the plastic somewhere in the fucking mess.
This went. I walked in, and Ian said, dude, has anybody listened to the new In Flames yet? And I just said, yeah, I listened to two songs. Just, how was it? And I just got really bummed out. I couldn't even bring myself
to I saw the look on his face, and I was just like, I'm not trying to put myself up to that shit. Let's put that over here.
That's awesome. And of course,
last but not least,
Tim Lambesis from As I Lay Dying being found guilty. It's not a disappointment that he was found guilty. It's just a disappointment of that guy's fucking life.
Yeah, and his wife and his kids and the rest of his band, I think,
We retired that band from Metal Shop this year.
It's true. And all other Tim Lambesis projects.
Did we retire it? Or did we fucking banish it?
Yeah.
We banished any
86, motherfucker.
Yeah. 86th.
Yeah, that's
That's what it was. We 86'd it. That's what it was.
Get out of here, bitch.
So they got 86'd. And we never really came to a consensus. Are we still doing Austrian Death Machine?
No.
It's the same thing, right?
No.
Remember that he did that Kickstarter
Christian
for?
Christian wife killer.
Austrian douche machine.
So in 6 years, you'll hear the new Austrian Death Machine.
You Christian wife killing steroid using motherfucker.
Real talk, though, like, I feel super bad for the rest of his band. I think that's the biggest, other than his children not having their father anymore. You know, you can get in an argument with your ex-wife. That's nothing new. But the other people in your band that like built their whole fucking careers around this like Grammy winning band.
Yep.
That was making a lot of money.
But they're continuing on, man. They got the new project Woven War and they're doing big tours with Periphery and stuff. Yep. It seems like they're doing what they want to do.
You know, it's the kind of thing where
hold up. More real talk. Don't hire a cop to try to kill your wife.
Don't hire anyone to try and kill your wife.
Just for real.
Kill yourself.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. What the f***?
Hey, what? What? We play get stripped, raped, and strangled by Cannibal Corpse and nobody says anything.
Oh, I thought that was like I thought that was like Kill, Bang, Marry.
Yeah, okay. That's what we'll call it. Shout out to some of our awesome local bands that we had in the studio this year. Zoth blew our minds. Man, that band kind of formed out of the ashes of Falgaron.
Yeah.
What was that? What were they called before that? Falgaron and Phlegathon is what they were called before that. Before they got threatened by some Euro band that already had that name.
Phlegathon?
We will sue you. That is our name, Phlegathon.
We are Phlega.
Okay, well then we're called Falgaron. F*** you.
Yep.
Now we're called Zoth, so f*** you twice.
Perception, great thrash band that we had in the studio recently. They're really cool, and they put out a demo, I think it was like in June, and it sounds so banging.
Yeah, we'll play some of that on Metal Shop tonight.
Big props to Brain Scraper. That album rules. That band is so goddamn good. Big ups to all the dudes in that band, too, for being awesome, awesome, hysterical individuals.
I know there's a lot of bands we're probably forgetting, but another one that really, really did a great job this year is Stealing Axion after, 2012 was their last one, right?
Yep.
And these guys put a ton of time into that record, so go get the new Stealing Axion one, too. And this time, I actually do care, so if there is a local band that we're missing, feel free to seriously hit us up on Facebook. Let us know.
Wounded Giant.
These are just a few of our favorites.
Yep.
Yeah, dude.
From this year. And really, in my opinion, I'm so looking forward to the new Theories record in 2015.
Yep. Swamp Heavy, too, put out a really good album this year, man.
Who else? Wilt? Did we had
yep.
Wilt, man. We had, that Wilt record's awesome.
We had Un in here this year, correct?
Mm-hmm. Good dudes.
We need to get Numb back in here, too, and get some of that new Numb on.
Yeah, dog.
That Ryan's working on.
Yep, just about done. We're about 2 weeks out.
So, shout out to some of the local bands out there. How do you guys want to carry on?
I don't know. Well, let's just have the main event here. Why don't we just top 20 metal albums of 2014. We don't need to get too in depth with this.
Yeah, we don't need any to get fancy, but let's go backwards and kind of read it around. We can even include Max in it.
All right, Ian, why don't you start it
I'll
off
start
with number 20?
Number 20, Ringworm, Hammer of the Witch. These guys are crushingly heavy, and if you ever are having a day, or if you're stuck in fucking traffic and you need to get some shit out, put on the Ringworm record, Hammer of the Witch. That's one of the records that I got on vinyl this year.
Yo, freaking 19 body counts, manslaughter.
Nice.
Yeah.
Speaking of Ice-T.
There you go. That record's tough as all hell if you're looking to get a little bit thug and
get a little ignorant, honestly.
Yeah, get a little ignorant.
Pretty
it.
Fucking ignorant.
Hell yeah, it's a great record.
Number 18, we got Sanctuary, The Year the Sun Died.
Yeah.
It's been, it was like 20 years since they came out with a record, even more than that.
It was like 25 or 26,
And these dudes reformed from the ashes of Nevermore and came out with a record that was a banger. And it was on Century Media Records, and that is at number 18, a local band, Sanctuary, The Year the Sun Died.
And they brought us Cherry Pie.
Oh yeah. Number 17, yeah. Obituary with... Man, I can't read that right.
Inked in Blood, dude.
Inked in Blood.
How do you,
you
not
obviously
know?
Don't know this record.
Max, I can't even see your eyes. Open your eyes up a little bit, man. You're
I know.
Like so high, your eyes are like squinted shut.
I mean,
you did go see them live.
I did see them live. Yeah.
So you do know the band.
Yeah. I know the band.
Okay. Relapse had a bunch of good records this year, man. Obituary, that's one of them for sure. Pallbearer, the hoodie that Ryan's wearing right now.
Nice.
A bunch of people put Pallbearer at number 1. We've got them coming in at number 16 with their record, Foundations of Burden.
That band is very impressively interesting for a doom band. In my book, because it's not like my favorite genre or subgenre.
Dude, that album is
But it is awesome.
Good.
Yeah, it's very intricate and interesting. And should we talk a little bit about, before we hit number 15, like how we put together our metal shop?
Yeah, man.
Like, just simply, a lot of it has to do with how much of these we actually played on Metal Shop, the actual radio show.
And how many requests we got. Whatnot.
So this should be said and kept in mind. It's a lot of the albums that, you know, we'd like to play don't necessarily get that much airplay, mostly because, you know, time constraints, and it's not necessarily the kind of thing that should be
we can only play it once a week, you know? Anyway, and that's, you know, not very often.
And so there's only so much that we can do, and so it's, you know, based off of all that stuff.
And mostly literally just how much we played it on Metal Shop, and how many requests we got for it, how much popularity and good feedback we got for it. So take that with a grain of salt. All of our lists are different individually, I'm sure, and they're probably different from you as you're listening to this right now. But fuck it. Number 15, man. Let's carry on.
Number 15, Vader's Tibi et Igni.
Death metal.
Yeah, there you
masters.
Go.
And number 14 was the return of Unearth doing a metalcore album that actually killed it, man. It was called Watchers of Rule, and I listened to it a bunch. It was awesome.
Kind of underrated record.
Number 13, Judas Priest, Redeemer of Souls.
Bringing in the classics.
I'm just really bummed I didn't get to see that live show.
I know. Hopefully it'll happen again. They said
it's going to. Like, they're going to have another live show. They can't not.
It's the reunion after the reunion after the final show reunion.
Judas Priest is one of those bands that are going to go for a long time.
I hope so. Yeah. I'm totally fine with that. They need to carry on. Number 12, Overkill, White Devil Armory. New York, New Jersey. Bastards. Overkill, man. They're bringing the thrash to the list on Metal Shop's Top 20.
All right, and number 11, Annal Nothrock with Desideratum. Am I saying?
Desideratum.
Desideratum.
Yeah, that's not a real word.
That's not a word.
Crazy motherfuckers.
Yeah, that record is actually really awesome, man. I really like that band.
Crushing.
Good stuff.
And number 10, an instrumental metal band called Animals as Leaders, Tosin Abasi. Totally shredding. They killed it at Studio 7 this year, as well as El Corazon. The Joy of Motion is the name of that record that's coming in at number 10 on the list.
Goat Horror at number 9, Constricting Rage of the Merciless. These guys are unrelentingly awesome. I love brutal thrash. Just anything f***ing heavy as f***.
Number 8, Slipknot, 0.5, The Great Chapter. I gave it a thumbs up.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was the right amount of DJ, like, scratching.
It was
a
good return to form.
5 or 6 years since they came out with their last record. They had a couple lineup changes. They lost their drummer as well as their bassist, and they came back heavier than ever.
What are we at here? Number 7?
Number 7, Arch Enemy, War Eternal with the new vocalist, and just good stuff, man. New Arch Enemy record definitely has to be within the top 10 of Metal Shop.
I want to hear new Arch Enemy, like, the next record.
With Loomis on. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's going to be epic.
All right, next up is number 6 with Bloodbath's Grand Morbid Funeral. Now, that record was a freaking crusher and a half, man. I was really excited to hear more Bloodbath. Now, granted, didn't have the stellar vocal stylings of Michael Akenfeld.
Yeah, it's different, but it's
still
awesome.
Absolutely excellent. Very well-deserved spot at number 6.
All right, fellas, we're going to crack number 5 with Mastodon. Once More Round the Sun. These guys came and played the Showbox Soto this year, and they hung out with us again for some strange reason. They like us. They really like us.
If I got to pick the one album that I listened to the most that year, it was probably Mastodon. It's a great record. But a second to that record would probably be Crowbar's Symmetry in Black, which is coming in at number 4. Such a fucking awesome record, and we saw them as well this year. And Kirk has a newly refocused goal to make Crowbar his number one and his love and his passion. And he continues on. And it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, he's out of down. So it's that's all he got. Number 3. Who's got it?
Cannibal Corpse, Skeletal Domain.
Yeah, dude. It's Corpse.
It's Corpse. It's not boring. It's not just the same old Corpse. It's crushing. It's fucking heavy, and it's kind of catchy in some spots. While I'm listening to you crushing people's skulls with the brick.
Catchy like chlamydia.
Catch the corpse.
And then number two, the return of At the Gates.
Hell yes.
Their first album since 1995. They reunited and they came back, much like Carcass did last year. But they came back with At War with Reality, and it's a fucking banger. Sweden!
Right. So if you're sitting there thinking, what's number one, and you're thinking about all of these records that we didn't have on the list so far, the one that deserves a wee thing to be at the top the most, a band that has a lot of surviving power, to say the least, a band by the name of Behemoth.
F*** yeah!
With the record The Satanist. And I think most of us, kind of when we heard about this record last year, we were all like, man, that's going to be the number one record of 2014. And it is. For so many reasons. No, you know, obviously it's Behemoth. They, in and of themselves, combine a lot of really awesome, some of the most awesome elements of metal in general. They are seriously, sincerely scary, kind of, about what the f*** they are talking about.
And
it's not a joke to them, and I think that kind of shines through a lot. So, awesome record. Glad Nergal's doing well. And as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, his book is coming out late March of next year. So we'll see what he's actually got to say for himself.
Sweet. So that was it, man. 2014. Let's look forward to 2015, dude.
Yeah. Anything in 2015 that you guys can think of off the top of your heads?
It's coming up.
There's got some new... Yeah, it's soon. That's true.
Napalm Death.
Oh, yeah, the Napalm Torch. Death show.
New Armageddon.
Ooh, shout out to the Iron Reagan EP that came out this year also. Just had to
Electric Wizard too. Earth. All kinds of good stuff.
There's so many good records that we didn't get to talk about. But we'll talk about them on Metal Shop this week. And you guys got anything else to say? Final words for 2014?
Hey, hey, hey. Smoke weed every day.
Thanks for listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. And we'll be back next year. Peace, motherfuckers.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.